It's funny how you call it the World Series, but it's only in America. But anyway.
Well, no, there's one team in Canada.
Do you love the outdoors?
Do you love to travel?
Do you love finding hidden treasures in towns all over the USA? Hi, I'm Joshua.
And I'm Craig, and welcome to Treasures of Our Town, the podcast that takes you on a journey to explore the unique and charming towns scattered throughout the United States.
Join us as we venture into some of the country's most intriguing destinations, uncovering hidden gems and local secrets along the way.
And today's episode, Josh, is very intriguing. I'm going to your hometown of the GCV, the Geocaching Vlogger's hometown.
Oh my gosh, we're going to the Mini Apple itself. Minneapolis, St. Paul. Did you know that some people call it the Mini Apple?
I didn't, Josh.
It's kind of like a mini New York. Like New York's like the Big Apple, and we're the Mini Apple.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've been to New York a couple of times now. I can't really see the difference. But anyhow, we're going to get into it first.
Let me tell you why.
Tell me why.
Let me tell you why. It's because of our very vibrant professional theater here.
That's why it's called
Minneapolis. Yeah.
Of course. Before we get into Minneapolis, St. Paul, the Twin Cities, let's talk about what you've been up to, Josh. What's been happening?
Well, both of us have been up to lots of things, especially you. I think we should talk about you first.
Well,
what you've been up to. Holy cow.
I know.
You've been halfway around the world.
Literally, the other half, not Australia, but the other half. I went to South Africa, Josh, just for a vacation. Just myself and my wife, we went across to South Africa itself to Cape Town. Now, Americans don't really understand in too much of travel. And yes, it is a long flight. It's 15 hours. Mm-hmm. And this episode is not about Cape Town. This is just a quick, you know, overview. But
yeah, Josh, this is what we call banter.
Exactly. But if people want to know more about my experiences in Cape Town, guess what we're going to do? We're going to do a golden nugget, like an episode, a little episode, mini episode for the Patreons.
Oh my gosh.
I know, right? So we'll leave the whole lot to the Patreons. I'll just say this, Josh. It was very, very cheap. All Americans need to do it because it is ridiculously cheap. You know, the food's cheap, the accommodation's cheap, the rental or car hire is cheap as well. We did 12 nights. We did safari tours. There's Table Mountain. There's so many. There's great geocaches as well. And I did record a few and put them on my social medias. But then in the safari, there's the Big Five. They call it the Big Five. There's wild baboons, Josh. Wild baboons.
Wow.
Walking around, you know, if you drive around the sort of mountainous areas.
Yeah, walking around with their red butts hanging out.
Exactly. You've got to be careful with them because they will jump in your car and eat your lunch. But anyway, that's another story. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's so funny because I've been watching some of your TikToks, and I love how you always introduce yourself because you're like, "Hello, I'm Craig, an Aussie in America, but not in America right now. I'm in South Africa. But
currently in South Africa."
Pretty soon, I wonder if it's going to be like, "Hi, I'm Craig, an Aussie in America that just traveled to South Africa, but now is in Minnesota." Like, you're everywhere, man. You're everywhere.
Well, you know what? This podcast is all about travel, and we both love to travel. So, yeah, so that's what I've been up to. Now, more exciting, actually, you know, but it is more exciting because yours is more in the making.
I mean, it depends who you talk to. I don't know. Some people would think South Africa is pretty dang exciting.
You know what? South Africa is more achievable for most people as opposed to what you've been up to.
That's interesting perspective. I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I assume more people have visited South Africa than done what I have done.
Exactly right. What your achievement that's been 12.5 years in the making.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. What a long time for a piece of metal on my wall.
Exactly right. If people don't know what we're talking about, and you should know because it's been over social media as well. Joshua, from myself and all our listeners, a big congratulations to you, mate. Well deserved. 100,000 followers on YouTube, and you get a special silver play button from YouTube itself. Congratulations, mate. Well done.
It's right on my wall. Thank you so much. I can't believe it. It has been. Boy, a long journey. 12 and a half years. You know, a lot of people who reach that milestone, I think I would argue maybe most of them, mm-hmm. they get a couple viral videos or they get really popular very quickly. And for me, it's just been, you know, slow and steady.
Slow and steady
wins the race.
It's a snail in the hair. It's a tortoise in the hair.
I don't talk about it a lot, but I made a commitment 12 and a half years ago that I was just going to do at least one video on YouTube every week until I decided to stop doing it. And I'm proud to say I haven't missed a week in 12 and a half years.
Wow.
At least one video.
And we're talking about long-form videos, too, not like these shorts that have just come about. No. Or TikToks or anything. We're talking a long-form video of like 5 minutes or more, you know. Yeah, and those of you who don't follow Josh on his YouTube channel, I don't know why not. You've got to be part of the actual crew. Fantastic videos as well, but it's taken you across the world as well, Josh. Yes. You've been to Germany several times. You do your cash tours as well. Yes. I love your cash tour series. They're great. They're really cool.
It's brought me so many neat opportunities that I would never have imagined when I started doing it. And I never thought that I would get to 100K. I know there's probably lots of people that, you know, are really trying to get their YouTube channel going. And and I was stuck, Craig. I was stuck at 50K for like years. Like I was flatlined.
Completely flatlined.
So I thought, oh gosh, it took me, what, 8-9 years to get to 50K. It's going to take me another 10 years. So I had sort of lost hope in kind of reaching that big milestone for YouTube, which is the 100K.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 2020 came around and I started posting TikToks.
Yes.
Short form videos.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to throw them up on YouTube because YouTube's trying to compete with TikTok for shorts. And when that's I started posting the shorts, that's when what just gave a little booster shot.
A little kick
in the butt. And over the last year, I've grown like 40K in the last year.
Wow. So, wow. That's insane. So, that's insane.
Yeah. So I was, and as I got close, I was talking to my family, Reese and Tammy and the boys. I was like, you know what? Like, this is a huge milestone, like bigger than a birthday.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, we need to throw a party. And I was like, I'll throw my own party. I'm not ashamed. I'll throw my own party.
No. You'd make a great host as well.
Yes. But I didn't realize something was happening behind the scenes. Now you kind of know some of the behind the scenes because you were behind the scenes. You want to tell the people like what happened?
So what basically happened is I was actually in South Africa at the time, and Reese, Josh's daughter, and Tammy, his wife, reached out and they started this Facebook group, hidden Facebook group, and invited several, you know, I don't know how many people were invited to a surprise 100K party for Josh. Mm-hmm. Surprise 100K party for Josh. Now, this is really, really cool. I must say, Josh, as well, before we go into it, just to say this, you've inspired so many people with your YouTube channel and over the 12 and a half years that you've been doing it, and you've inspired me. I still remember my first day, Josh, geocaching. I think I told you this as well, and I told Tammy this. My first day geocaching, I was out with my children. My son was like, I think he was 5 at the time. My daughter was like 7. We went geocaching on our push bikes all the way around my little area, you know, had a great time. So I come back, I'm starting to cook dinner. Next minute, who do I hear? But I hear Josh's voice coming from my lounge room. My son is there. He's researched on YouTube geocaching. And of course, your videos come up. You were with Reese at the time, and Reese was only young as well.
Yeah.
And so, all I hear is your voice going on and on. Not on and on, but you know what I mean. Like your voice coming on
the
actual.
Hey guys, it's Josh, geocaching vlogger.
That's pretty much exactly right. And so that's inspired not just my children to keep on geocaching and stuff, but also that inspired me and my children to start our videos, you see? That's so cool. You've inspired, I'm going to say, hundreds of thousands of people, Josh. Oh, seriously, well done, mate.
Thank you. And that's why I do it. I do it to encourage people to get out.
Because let's be honest, for the amount of time and effort you put into it, there's no real monetary financial gain. I mean, there's a little bit here and there at your level now, but
opportunities, more opportunities.
More opportunities than anything else. Yeah. But people think, oh, you do it just for the money. No, no, people don't, you know, and you're one of those that doesn't. You're doing it for the right reasons. So anyway, well, let's get back to the story. Let's get back to the story.
Yeah. And by the way, if you're listening to this and you're like, boy, I clicked on this podcast and I really wanted to hear about Minneapolis, St. Paul, and these guys are talking about geocaching, like what the heck is geocaching?
Mm-hmm.
Well, geocaching, real briefly, scavenger hunt game, use an app, you find hidden things all over the world, containers, and it takes you really cool places. There, you're caught up.
They're done, easy. So this story. So I was in South Africa and I got a Facebook message from Tammy and Reese about you having a 100K party, a surprise 100K party for the man, Joshua himself. So I looked at the dates and I thought, you know what, Friday the 22nd, you know, I'm back from South Africa then, I can do this. So I then went ahead and I booked my flights, etc. And I was going to surprise you by being there as well on Friday the 22nd. It's very important because I was in South Africa at the time, which is ahead in the time zone. And therefore, it's technically, it when the party happened, was Friday the 22nd, but in South Africa. You see, so you actually had, you were hosting it, or not you, but Tammy was hosting it on the 21st. So this went unbeknownst to myself, unbeknownst to Tammy or anyone else either as well. And so I'd already booked it. And I said to Tammy, I'll be there at 8 o'clock Friday morning. And she's like, yep, I'll pick you up. She said, yes, I'll pick you up from the airport.
Oh, gosh.
So yeah, she takes on board some of that as well. And it wasn't until I was messaging your son back and forth as well, Jonah. And I said to him, you know, are you going to be there for your father's party on Friday? He said, no, but it's Thursday. I'm like, what? And I had a look. And because I'd come back to the Jersey by that time, and the date had changed back to the 20th, I'm like, no. And it was too late to change or anything else. I was like, no. But anyway, you had a wonderful party on the Thursday night.
On Thursday night. Yep. And boy, by the way, there was just like so many people there that I was just shocked to see that. Like my teachers from high school were there. So many coworkers were. It was so, so cool. If you're listening to this and you came to that party, thank you. I felt so honored.
So cool. But in saying that, I said to Tammy, should I just cancel? And Tammy's like, no, no. Come anyway and surprise Josh for the weekend. So that's what I did. I flew in on Friday morning, 8 o'clock. Tammy picked me up. You were at work, Josh, at the time. Tammy picked me up. I spent all morning with your lovely wife and her father as well, because he was fixing some of your kitchen still, like he's done the rest of your house. and then Reese as well. And that's the first time I actually met Reese in person too. So we had some good chats as well. And then you come home just after midday.
Yes.
Well, tell us what you thought when you came home.
I was exhausted, first of all. The work has been very busy for me. I've been traveling for work. It's been, you know, 2 weeks of lots of putting out a lot of energy. So I was ready to come home for just a chill, relaxed weekend. And then I walked in the door, and who comes down my stairs but Craig holding an Oreo cake that says, congrats, 100K.
Yeah.
And you saw my face. I was shocked.
What?
Shocked.
That's what you said.
It was just one surprise. Yeah, I was like, what? It was just one surprise after another. And then immediately when I saw you, I was like, oh my gosh. For years, Craig, I've been saying, oh, I can't wait till you visit Minneapolis, St. Paul, because when you do, Craig, I'm going to take you all over. And that's what we did.
And that's what we did. Unbeknownst
non-stop.
To you.
Non-stop.
You were coming home. Josh, you were coming home on Friday at lunchtime, getting an early mark from your work, thinking, I'm going to have the next 2.5 days to myself on the couch with Goliath watching TV. That's what you thought. How wrong were you?
It was opposite day. It was opposite weekend. But I was so excited because, you know, I like showing off my town. You know why, right? You know why.
He's proud of his town.
I am. I'm proud of my town.
That's a rare thing these days.
It is a rare thing these days. Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad that you said it.
I had to get it in. But it's true. It is very true. You are very proud of your town. You didn't even get changed out of your work wear either.
Heck no.
You grabbed your keys. You didn't sit down. You grabbed your keys and said, let's go.
let's go. And I had, it's pretty impressive. I think that I had like, immediately I was like, I had an itinerary in my mind. Like,
you did.
Okay, first time, what is it? What does Craig need to see? Yeah. And so, you know, I'm proud of my town. Mm-hmm. And I, what do you think, Craig? I mean, as a visitor here for, I mean, you weren't here long, but we did a lot.
Yeah, we did a lot.
Do you think it's valid that I should be proud of my town? What, you know,
absolutely.
What's your overall, before we get into the details, mm-hmm. like, what's your overall impression of Minneapolis, St. Paul? We spent most time in Minneapolis, a little time in Wisconsin.
Yep. My overall impression, coming from Jersey as well, you got to think about that, but it was so much more relaxed. The atmosphere of the town or the cities were relaxed. There was parking available. There was not much traffic. There was free-flowing. You know, we could get from place to place to place without any stress. And it was – so for me, as a whole, as the town itself, it's very nice to visit because it's you don't have that hustle and bustle of like like Jersey or New York City or any of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so. We are kind of a we're a city. We're a smaller market city. I think Minneapolis, St. Paul, I think our total population, if you include like all the suburbs, we're a little over, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we're about 2 million people.
Okay.
So
okay.
We're not tiny, but we're not.
I think
we're not huge.
I think there's 20-something million people just in Jersey itself. Like,
yeah.
We're the most highly populated per capita of the states. So there you go.
Wow.
You didn't know that, did you? Anyway, getting back to Minneapolis. So we jumped in the car straight away and you go, Craig, I've got to take you. We haven't eaten yet. It was just after lunch. We both hadn't eaten. Mm-hmm. And you said, I've got to take you to the great fish and chip shop, the best fish and chip shop. And it's right next to these Minnehaha Falls.
Minnehaha Falls, yes. And I know Craig. You know, we've traveled a lot. I know Craig likes a good fish and chips.
Oh, yeah.
And so we went to Minnehaha Falls. And the thing that's unique about Minnehaha Falls is that it is, it can be, I'll say can be, a pretty epic waterfall. It's right in the middle of Minneapolis. Like, it's Minneapolis proper. This is the city. And it's a park, but it's really cool because this fish and chip shop has been, took over, Craig, a like almost like a park shelter. And there was beers there, and there's lots of different fish options. You can sit on a patio. We had a beautiful day.
It really was.
Yeah. Give me your impressions of it, the fish and chips place. If you're looking for a Minneapolis itinerary, it was Sea Salt is what it's called.
Sea Salt. That's right. That's what it's called. Sea Salt. And as a fish and chip shop, coming from Australia, we do the best fish and chips that England claim they do. But anyway, it was up there, Josh. It was up there. But what made it like go over the top for me was the local beer on tap that you can buy at a fish and chip shop. Like, I was like, that astounded me. And it was next level.
In a park.
Yeah, on a bench seat. That was beautiful.
I mean, even in Minneapolis, St. Paul, we have like zoning laws about where you can drink alcohol and that, like, the fact that they allow you to have all that on tap right next to, well, we'll talk about the waterfall in a second. What could be usually is an epic waterfall. It's pretty cool.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And the local beers, the local breweries, which you know me, I'm on Untappd and so are you. And I do enjoy a local brew to try out the different flavors of different areas. So I really enjoyed it, Josh. And thank you for taking me.
Yeah. So we ate and then I was like, we were probably 200 feet from the waterfall. And usually it's pretty loud over there. And I was like, whoa, Craig, the waterfall is kind of quiet. I don't know what's going on. Somebody turned it off, Craig.
For me, Josh, that waterfall lived up to its name. It was Minnie. Ha ha. Like,
yeah, that's right. It was Minnie, and we were like, ha 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 ha.
That's really
Minnie.
It was
more like the Minnie ha ha trickle, not waterfall.
Yeah, it was a trickle. But there's an earth cache there, of course, as well. So I managed to obtain that. And there's Munzee's galore, but we'll talk about that shortly as well in regards to the amount of Munzee.
Well, let me just defend the Minnehaha Falls. Okay. It's end of summer.
Yep.
First of all.
Yeah.
So it usually is slow, but we've been in a drought. Haven't had a lot of rain, Craig. Mm-hmm. So usually it is pretty epic. And if you're listening to this show, I would encourage you, as you're listening to it, maybe, you know, do a Google image search to see what it could be. But I felt bad I felt bad, mm-hmm. and I just thought, oh gosh, I gotta take Craig to a better waterfall.
well, I actually looked at the Earth Cache listing and looked through the photos on the Earth Cache listing of people who took photos over the period of time. And Josh, in your winter time, when it looked really beautiful and pretty, when it was all yes. iced over and there's snow and there's ice and. Yes. You know, and for me, the whole trip I was there, we were walking around everywhere we walked. All I could think about was, Josh, does this snow here? And you're like, Craig, it snows everywhere. like everywhere. And you were telling me the height, it gets up to your waist in some places. I'm like, that's insane. I can't comprehend that because I'm not from a snowy area, so I can't comprehend.
Yeah, we are pretty far north, that's for sure. And we get all the Canadian air, which is a little bit different than like the Pacific Northwest, where they just it's more rainy there. It's just more snowy here. Snow. But let's not talk, we don't talk about the weather on this podcast, do we, Craig?
Well, we do when it's related to the place we're visiting and talking about. So because you can talk about the best times to actually visit Minneapolis. When do you think that would be? Which for people thinking about coming, what time is the best time?
Well, it's all about preference, right? We get a true four seasons here in Minneapolis. Our summers can be hot and humid. Our springs can be a little sloppy because all that snow that's melting.
Oh, yeah.
And the winters can be fun. The winters can be fun because Minnesotans would say they're proud to embrace whatever season it is. So sledding, skiing, ice fishing. Mm-hmm. There's whole cities on lakes of ice houses that people fish on. So it depends who you talk to, but for me, my favorite time to visit Minneapolis, St. Paul is right now, which is in the fall.
Autumn for those listening.
Autumn. Autumn.
Autumn.
Okay, we'll say autumn.
Autumn.
Autumn. We call it the fall.
Yeah, you know why?
We call it the fall here in the Midwest.
Yeah, you know why in America? Because leaves fall from the tree. Like, that's why.
That makes sense. We're literal. Makes sense.
Yep. But anyway, after we did the mini ha-ha falls, you took me downtown and we walked across arch bridge.
Yeah, it was sort of like across the river from downtown. Mm-hmm. But it was, I wanted to take you to, so you could just see the skyline in all its glory. And for those of you who don't know Minneapolis, St. Paul, like, first of all, the old Miss, the Mississippi River, it starts in Minnesota. In Lake Itasca, it starts with a little creek, and then it gets bigger and bigger as it makes its way through St. Paul and then all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico. But I felt like I needed to take you to the old Miss, to the river, and there's a walking bridge, like you said, called the Stone Arch Bridge. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you see, there's another waterfall there. It's actually... now it's, I think, somewhat man-made. It used to be more like natural, but they embrace the hydroelectric power there. But it is beautiful as a sight to see. And, there were geocaches all around. We did, if you're listening to the episode of Gamifying Your Adventure,
Adventure Labs.
There's some Adventure Labs, which is another location-based game. We did we did a virtual cache of one of the Pillsbury buildings. So all around the river where we were, Craig, if you remember, it was like all these old flower buildings, and we took a picture there. Yeah, just a great place to go to get some great pictures. Again, if you're sitting at home, Google Stone Arch Bridge, because you will see it's just such a beautiful location.
Yeah, I loved it. And and Tim's virtual is pretty cool as well for what it is with the photo and stuff. But it's funny too, Josh, because you're there, my tour guide. You're saying, look, Craig, this is the Stone Arch Bridge, this is the waterfall, this is this. And I love the mills as well. There's lots of different mills there as well, the old school mills. But then you looked and you said the bridge, you talk about the bridge. And you said something about, I don't know how it's put together, but somehow it's put together. And then I told you, oh, yeah, it's with gravity and whatever. And I actually told you how it was put. You're like, look at you.
Yeah. It was a certain type of bridge that you knew all about the architecture of. It's a place to go. And I really want to take you there, Craig, because I think they're renovating it. And so it's going to be actually closed for like 2 years. Wow. So I was like, let's make sure we experience this. Mm. So we walked across the Mississippi River. on the Stonehenge Bridge. The place where we start was called St. Anthony, Maine, which is also just a, there's like cobblestone streets there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember. And then there's some restaurants near there. But we walked across and I was like, you know what? We are the mini Apple, and which is all about our sort of our theater district.
Yeah.
So I took you over to the other side to the Guthrie Theater. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember the Guthrie Theater. But I also remember that you didn't mention there was a wedding in the middle of the bridge. Like people were getting married. You said that there's homecoming photos happen on the bridge and all that sort of thing.
Yes.
And that's what you thought it was when we were walking up to it. But no, here it is a wedding. And I personally think, Josh, this is my personal opinion, is the reason why it was on the middle of the bridge is because the bride's from Minneapolis and the groom's from St. Paul. Just saying, like, you know, it's twin cities coming together.
That is a really nice thought, but just so you know, both sides of the bridge are actually Minneapolis.
This is true.
Still.
This is true. I didn't realize where I was. But getting back to the Guthrie, the theater, yeah.
It's a very famous theater venue. I think there's three, maybe four theaters. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about theater, we're not talking about movie theater. No. We're talking about plays, musicals, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I wanted to take you there because I think you'd have to look it up. Gosh, we're a podcast. We should know things. I should know things about my town. But I think the escalator up in that building is one of the tallest escalators in the world.
Yeah, it's endless.
Yeah, it's like a escalator to heaven.
Yeah.
And I was disappointed when we got there because the escalator was closed.
But the elevators wasn't, so we had to take the elevator instead of the escalator.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that escalator...
Which is cool.
It went up, I think, three or four floors. That's how far it went up. That's insane.
Yeah, four-story escalator straight up.
And you don't want claustrophobia because you had walls each side. It was a one-way escalator and only one of them going up, and you had walls on each side. So, you know, you don't want to be claustrophobic or anything.
Yeah. But the cool thing is that the Guthrie, I mean, there's no plays happening when we were there, but they just keep it open because there's a thing called the Endless Bridge.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really cool. And the Endless Bridge, basically, for those listening, and that is, it's like a bridge area. It goes out, it juts out from the building itself. It doesn't go anywhere. It just juts out, you know, a few hundred feet. You go out to the end of the bridge itself, and it's nice. It's a glass area, and you get a really nice view and skyline view of the actual river itself and the arch bridge that we just walked across. And, Josh, yes. I couldn't believe how green your city was. It's very green.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Lots of green space. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing about the Endless Bridge, and we didn't talk about this, Craig, when we were doing it, but there's no supports. Like, on the end of there's no bar holding it up. So I don't know what kind of magic that is in the architecture world, but nothing's holding up the end of it, which is kind of fascinating.
Very strong rebar concrete.
Yeah, exactly. That we can't see.
So we went for a walk through there. And then you showed me as well there's lots of museums. We didn't actually go into a museum, but there was lots of museums in Minneapolis itself as well. So next time I come back, we're going to have to visit a museum there.
Yes. There was a museum called the Mill City Museum, which is actually, they've kind of taken the building, the guts of one of the flour mills, old flour mills, and it's all about that.
Yeah.
And I've actually never visited it. So next time, for sure, you know, I love my museums.
Yeah.
I love learning stuff about that.
You've got me into museums that you love them that much.
And here's the thing. Mm-hmm. This is still Friday.
Yeah, this is still Friday. Arrived. Yeah, exactly. This is the first hour.
I was like, gosh, I feel like we gotta keep going. Yeah. Gotta keep going. So then where did I take you?
Well, didn't we go back and then we went to birthday for
no?
Where did we go after that? I can't recall.
We went to Chanhassen to visit maybe one of the most famous Minnesotans.
Really?
You got things out of order on the.
Yeah, I did.
You got things out of order on the notes. Yeah. That right away we headed out to Prince's house.
Oh,
it's the Prince Adventure Lab.
Was that day? I didn't realize it was that day.
Yes, it was.
See,
it's all a blur.
Listen, listeners, right now it is all a blur because we did that much in the space of like 1.5 days. It was insane. So we did the event. We actually met up with one of our Patreons, Tim, as well.
And friend.
And friend. Patreon and friend, of course. But if you want to meet up with us, you've got to be a Patreon first. No joking. We met up with Tim and we did your Prince Adventure Lab.
Yeah, and we might have been the last one to do it.
Yeah, I know.
But we'll get to that. So again, if you go want to learn a little bit more about this thing called Adventure Labs, mm-hmm. go back to the gamifying your travel
episode
podcast. Yep. And it's basically like a virtual tour. Yeah. And so I actually own the very first Adventure Lab in Minnesota.
Wow.
And so when I was offered the credit for it, I was like, what makes us special mm-hmm. is Minnesota? And the first thing I thought, oh, it's Prince.
Yep.
So the Adventure Lab takes you to just four locations. The first one was Prince's house in the 80s, mm-hmm. which is his kind of his house, which used to actually, I don't know if I told you this, Greg, it was used to be painted purple. It was a purple house.
You did. You told me
for
the time.
Purple one. And there's still some remnants. If you go there, there's still remnants of Prince on the outside gates mm-hmm. that represent him.
Yes.
So I took you there first. Yep. And then there was a beautiful mural mm-hmm. that was on one of the Chanhassen movie theaters of Prince himself. Mm-hmm. And then I took you to Paisley Park.
Yes.
And Paisley Park is where Prince's final home.
Yeah.
And it's basically like, it's basically the Graceland of Minnesota.
Well,
it's like Graceland, only Prince.
And see, Josh, you were driving me everywhere. And so we're driving up past it. And I looked at it. And I seriously, I thought it was just because it's a white block style building. Now, it's not a house. It doesn't look like a house at all. It looks like a complex, a business complex area. That's what it looks like, a white. Yeah. And it's not until you get around to the front itself and you see that big statue thing with his symbol, his purple symbol at the front. I looked at that and went, hang on, and I pointed to it, and you go, that's his house. I went, what? It blew me away. It blew me away. We managed it. We walked around. We got out of the park of the car and walked around then. We walked under.
Yes.
We saw a little shrine area to Prince under the roadway itself and up a little bit on the fence line, and then walked around to the front of the house as well. So that was really cool.
Yeah, if you visit Minneapolis, St. Paul, I would encourage you to go out there. Mm-hmm. We did not have time to tour the house. They do tours, mm-hmm. which I heard is excellent.
Have you done one yet?
A little bit expensive.
Have you done one yet?
I've never done it.
Oh, wow.
It's a little over $100, depending on what you do. It's a little bit of what they say in Minnesota. It's a little spendy. That's what we say. But you could visit there. There's a lot of memorials to him. There's mm-hmm. a graffiti, but when I say graffiti, like it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is.
It's cool to see. There's actually a professional artist that actually went into the tunnel leading to the building, mm-hmm. And we got some really great pictures of that. I don't know if we want to share them on our show notes, but yeah, I just felt like, hey, we're in Minneapolis. I got to take you out of Prince's house. And then we completed the Adventure Lab, mm-hmm. which included at the very end a purple a Prince ammo can with Prince's symbol on it. I was so excited, and that was actually out in the woods near his house.
Yes, yes. But now, in saying that, I have seen this purple ammo can on your social medias in the past as well mm-hmm. and on your YouTube channel. Did I see that for myself in real life, though? No. Why? It was muggle, Josh. The whole ammo can was gone. I saw your face.
Which is
you
crazy.
Was excited. You were getting excited for me to see this, your ammo can, and then all of a sudden mm-hmm. it was missing, and your face went from up to down, like your whole gravity took hold of your smile.
I jinxed it.
Yeah, you
because
did.
Because as we were walking to it, I said, "Oh, because Tim was with me, and I'm going to give credit to Tim, mm-hmm. who painted the ammo can. He created it." And I said to Tim as we were walking to it, "It's like, wow, I can't believe this purple ammo can." This Prince ammo can has lasted so long
you
out here in the woods. And then as we approached, Tim's like, it's gone.
It's gone.
It's like, no.
And Tim knew first it was gone before either of us because he knew where it was. He keeps the upkeep of it normally too as well. So
mm-hmm.
so you had to sort of disable it now and it's a shame.
Yes.
It's a shame. But
it's over.
Yeah, yeah. But then after
I might have to change. I might have to change the prints because I can change it.
Yeah.
Do you know you can change?
Yeah,
those?
You can.
So I might make it that big pencil. Maybe I'll just make a four stage thing all about the pencil.
This is true.
The giant pencil in Minneapolis that has been erected. We'll see.
But then after that, we actually went out for dinner because it was Reese's 24th birthday. Yeah. Your daughter's 24th
Holy
birthday
cow.
On that Friday. Like,
holy cow, I spent the whole afternoon with you on my daughter's birthday. What a friend.
What a father. But we went out for dinner. We went to a place called Southern Social. It was delicious. You really enjoyed your dinner.
Well, let's just say this. It was kind of Southern food, mm-hmm. right? And I saw that there was jambalaya. And I love a good jambalaya.
Mm.
And I was tasting it. And I was like, ooh. Ooh.
Yeah.
This is flavorful.
Yeah.
This has a lot of flavor. And it, for me, Minnesota boy, had a little bit too much flavor in that. It was very spicy for me. I couldn't do it. I couldn't handle it. It was too hot. It was a little spicy for me. But my wife thoroughly enjoyed it. I took it home and she ate the rest of it. Yep. So we did not put it to waste. No. Southern Social. It's, you know, and a lot of cities are like this. You know, it used to be that like all the good locally owned restaurants were all in the city. And this is actually, we live out in the suburbs. This is actually out in the suburbs in Eagan. Mm. So I'm just noticing there's more and more locally owned restaurants kind of branching out into the suburbs. And this was just a good one.
And that's good too.
Enjoyed it.
Good parking. Plenty of people there as well. Good size area. We were in an outdoor area as well. And it was still warm enough at night too, which is really nice. I had their famous... So we're
world famous.
Just for listeners, well, wherever we go, Josh and I go, before we eat, Josh normally always asks the host, what do you like to eat here? That's your favorite thing you say. What do you like to eat
here? Or I say, what does everybody get here?
Or what does everybody get here? And then they give you
what's the most popular thing?
Yeah, and then they give you the most popular local food that they've got, which is understandable and, you know, a good idea. So I went on your advice, and I looked through the menu, and there was this specials gray world famous chicken tenders that they have, and so I had those. They're world famous chicken tenders, and normally I don't. Normally I go for something a little bit more, you know, better than just chicken tenders or chicken nuggets.
Yes.
But I thought they were delicious. They were really delicious. Oh, they were really good. Exactly. So they were really good.
I'm glad. So we celebrated Reese's birthday, and then that was a long day. Remember, I got up very early because I worked earlier that day.
I got up earlier than you. I got up at 2 a.m. to catch the flight. Okay. So, yeah, don't you whinge and complain to me.
Okay, you're a good friend. You're a better friend. You got up earlier.
And then the next day, Josh, you picked me up the next day, and we went. You said to me, that was Minnesota. Oh, yeah. I always get Minneapolis and Minnesota mixed up. Minnesota is the state. Minnesota was my 39th state that I've visited. 39 states that I've done.
Congratulations.
Thank you, mate. Thank you. But you, Josh, as a traveler.
I was like, Craig. Yeah. I was like, Craig, have you ever been to Wisconsin? And you're like, yeah. I've been to Wisconsin. No problem.
I've been everywhere.
I was like, wait a minute, Craig. Craig, you need to look. Just look. I don't think, because those of you who don't know, Craig took a big van trip all the way across the United States. And I knew he had not even been to Iowa. So there's there's no way you've been to Wisconsin if you haven't been to Iowa. You have not been this far north in the United States. So you looked, Craig, and sure enough,
I hadn't been to Wisconsin, the cheese state.
The land of the cheese. And we're not going to make this a Wisconsin podcast.
No, because we only dipped in there. We only dipped into Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's a rival state. So we can't talk about it too much. But, I mean, come on. We're literally, I'd say, as the crow flies, we're probably 20 miles from Wisconsin.
And you had to up your game from the mini Haha Falls, didn't you? You said to me, Craig, I thought I was going to take you to a good falls. I'll take you to a good falls. And you took me to a good falls.
This is the best waterfall. Mm-hmm. Closest to the Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. And we went, I took him to, wasn't too far, just outside of Hudson, Wisconsin, which is also a border city. Mm-hmm. I took him to Willow River State Park.
That's right, yeah.
And to the Willow River Falls.
Now, you warned me, Josh. You said, we go down, it's bitumen, like it's a roadway we have to walk down, but we walk down, it's steep, it's long, and walking down is not really a problem, it's the getting back up that's the problem.
It is pretty steep. Mm. You have to, it is, you know, for those who want to visit, it is wheelchair accessible, but it's, boy, it's your heart, when you come back up the hill, your heart will be beating fast, no matter who you are.
Mind you, I was proud of us. We only stopped once because of me. Because I'm very unfit at the moment. I'm not the best shape of my life. The shape I'm in at the moment is a circular. But anyway, I digress. But we go down to this waterfall, this beautiful waterfall. There's other people down there. I looked around. I looked on the map. Josh, there's plenty of geocaches around there. There's actual physical containers, traditionals. There was mysteries. There was a multi. There were containers out there that we found a few of them as well. But there's no earth cache. I went, what? Look at this waterfall, and there's no earth cache. But there is now.
Yes, there is.
There is now. Like, I placed
one.
Hit an
Earth cache at the location, and it's worthy of an Earth cache.
100%.
It's really beautiful. So again, if you know, Google it. Yep. This is a cascading waterfall. There's probably like, I would say, 4 or 5 mm-hmm. little drops. Mm-hmm. And there was no trickle. I was so happy because I think it's a river. You know, Minnehaha is fed by a creek. Yeah. This is a flat-out river. Yeah. Yeah. And it was flowing. It was beautiful. There's one part of the waterfall where kids or people can actually go behind it.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Which is cool. Get some really cool pictures. Yeah. And people, we were there early in the morning. There were people already kind of swimming in it.
Yep. Yep.
It was gorgeous. And if you're a patron, we already have a golden nugget.
Yeah, we did. We did a quick video golden nugget for the patrons. While we're actually at the falls itself, before I placed the Earth cache. So if you want to know more about how the falls were developed, have a look at the Earth cache.
Yeah, why not? But there was lots of geocaching there. Yeah. And that's really special because when we go across the border in Wisconsin does not have as many rules about geocaching in state parks. Mm-hmm. Minnesota hardly has any geocaches in state parks. They used to have a geocaching program mm-hmm. that lasted like 9 years, and they just stopped it. So at one point, Minnesota had at least one geocache in every state park, and then like you got like a coin or like a cards, but it stopped. So now there's hardly any geocaching in state parks, but Wisconsin, anything goes.
Yeah, well, it yes and no, because if you want to place a geocache in Wisconsin in a state park, you still have to fill out a form. You still have to have a notification form.
You
still have to fill out a form. So that's pretty cool. So it's still regulated per se. And the national park, the local parks know about geocaching. And they know what's where and where it is and what it looks like. So that's pretty cool. But anyway.
So as we were walking the park, we were just talking about, it's fall in the upper Midwest. It's just beautiful. I mean, it's beautiful. The leaves are starting to change. And we just reminded ourselves of like, I don't know. It's just so cool. Like, just literally just a short drive outside the city, and all of a sudden, you're just in nature, taking it in. Great for the mental health. Mm-hmm. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I hope you, like, it was something different.
Yes.
Because we spent so much time in the city.
Exactly right. And as you said, it's only a short drive out, and then you're in this beautiful, area. So, but then, Josh, another big thing happened to me. You said to me,
I was so happy for you.
You said to me, "Oh, Craig, the twins are playing." I go, "The what?" You go, "The twins." I go, "Who are the twins?"
Two people are playing.
You don't have twins. You got three kids, but none of them are twins. What are you talking about? And no, you were talking about baseball. And you said,
"The Minnesota Twins."
And you said to me, "Have you ever been to an MLB game, Craig?" And I said, "No."
And I was like, that needs to change. I'm really proud of taking you to new American experiences like the Olive Garden, Jimmy John's, and now I've taken you to your very first Major League Baseball game.
You can't compare Olive Garden and Major League Baseball game. Like, let's be honest.
True.
It is a bucket list for a lot of people, outside America, to actually visit an NFL game or a Major League Baseball game. That is an absolute bucket list. And this was for me. And it did not disappoint, Josh. I mean, it was a very low-scoring game. It was 1-0. Like, at the end of the day, it was 1-0.
Yeah.
But
it was a shutout.
It still wasn't disappointing at all. Now, I've never been to one. I'm sitting there. Tim came along with us as well. So Tim was there with us as well, our good friend and patron Tim. He was there with us. The three of us are sitting there and we're having our hot dogs. I had to get a hot dog. I got myself, to get myself some souvenirs. So I had to get a hat. I had to get a shirt as well. And we had local beer again. I thought, oh, how good is this? Local beer again. So I loved it.
Summit.
Yep.
Summit Twins beer.
That's right.
It had the Twins logo on the beer.
I was like, wow.
You had to drink it.
I had to at the Twins game. We're sitting there watching the game started. And you hear the dun 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 dun, all the stock standard music that you hear on all the movies and all the TV shows. And Josh, you said to me, "Craig, we should visit the organ lady." I said, "What?" You go, "The organ lady." I said, "Josh, this day and age, there's no organ. It's a DJ, and he's got the mix board going." You go, "No, there's still an organ lady." And you pointed her out, and I looked over, and there she was. You saw the hands playing. Doo, 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 doo. And unbeknownst to me, here's this lovely lady. She would have been, you know, normally retired age group. I'll just say that. Mm-hmm. Gray curly hair, like part of the blonde rinse crew. Mm-hmm. She had headphones on with an earpiece in as well. Mm-hmm. We walked in there. We went and visited her.
Yeah, you could walk right up to her. Yeah. Like, touch her almost. Yes,
yeah, and she let you as well. And she's chatting away. She's, Josh, she looked at, she was talking to someone, and she was talking about something about the trees. She goes, oh, yeah, the trees are, and before she said green, she looked straight to the other direction and looked out towards the game and went, and played a little organ piece, and then come straight back and said, green. Like, she actually literally paused her conversation in mid-sentence, did her little piece for 10 seconds, and then came back. Mid-sentence to the person she was talking to. She was a lovely lady.
She's amazing. And, you know, I looked into it, Craig. She has been the Oregon lady for the Minnesota Twins for 25 years.
25 years.
And you think about, that's 80 games. So it's 80 times 25.
Wow.
And games are roughly 3 hours long. Mm-hmm. So you know, I think there's like research about like you have to do something for so many hours to become a true master at it. She was a master at what she was doing. It was just like, it was effortless for her.
Yep.
She could have carry on conversations and just like you said. And it was just, it's just amazing. It's just pure, like, to me, like Americana. Mm-hmm. It's like, it feels like it's very Midwest. This lady is like the lady that, you know, would make you your tater tot hot dish and just sweet. Yeah. And kind, Minnesota nice, and it quintessential Minnesota. So I'm so glad you got to see her and experience her up close. Yep. So we got a picture. Maybe we can put that in the show notes. I don't know. And it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And so the Twins did not win, but that night before they won, their division.
Yeah,
the Minnesota Twins won their division the night before. So that the day that we went. Mm-hmm. Not all the starters were playing.
That's a good excuse. But Josh, I've got to say this now to you, and I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but so when I first came to the US or whatever, you know, this is going back over 12 months ago now, I was sitting at a bar with my mate here as well, and we watched a college football game, and the Tennessee were playing, and it really intrigued us. And he's not a college football fan either, but we became college football fans because of that game we watched. And we watched Tennessee. I don't even know who they were playing because they literally just wiped their butts with the other team. So I'm a Tennessee college football fan. I've got a Tennessee college football hat.
Right.
I'd never seen a Major League Baseball game in person until now. Mm-hmm. So now I'm a Twins fan.
Yes.
Twins are my team.
I turned to you in the middle of the game and said, Craig, come on now. Are the Twins your team? And they're a good treat. You know, they're a good team to cheer for because it's like, yes, they just won the division, which is really excited, but we're a small market team. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We're often the underdog. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a good choice, Craig. I think it's a good life choice.
But in saying that, though, have the Minnesota Twins ever won Cup thing, whatever it's called?
Yes, we had the World Series.
World Series.
Yes. Yeah, we won it in 1987 and 1991. There you go. Yes, we have won a World Series before.
Twice.
And we're due. We're due.
It's funny how you call it the World Series, but it's only in America. But anyway, I don't
know. Well, no, there's one team in Canada. The Blue Jays in Toronto. So it's the world. Oh, we're international. Oh,
we're international now because we've got Canada. So, but we had fun at that game. And then we were hungry still after our hot dog and whatnot as well.
Oh.
And you had to take me to experience.
I had to take you.
Because you know me, I'm the same as you. Wherever I go, I go to a local place to eat or drink. Mm-hmm. So I like local beers brewed in the local area. And I enjoy local food developed and made in the local area. Josh, you took me to the original place that created the Juicy Lucy.
Yes, this was world famous. Matt's Bar, it's called.
Mm.
Matt's Bar. Yeah. And you should You should tell the people what exactly a Juicy Lucy is, because not everybody knows.
Okay, before I tell them what the Juicy Lucy is, because I'm going to let them, you know, salivate a little bit just thinking about the name.
Yeah, for sure.
So this place, it is a like a rundown dive bar sort of location. You literally have to line up to get in, and you wait in line. And some of the line itself is standing right next to people that are in their bays eating already, and you watch them
eat. Small.
It's a small location. But the best part was you wait in line. If you're inside itself, you look over to the right-hand side. All there is a bar, and the bar goes, you know, a few feet all the way along the side of the room. In the corner of the bar near the front door, Josh, there's one guy. One guy. He's got a big beard. He's got the long hair. He's got the gloves on, and he's flipping the burgers. He's making the burgers in a corner of the bar, not a kitchen. Yep. You don't order from, and they take the orders to him from the kitchen.
No.
He's making these famous burgers from the corner of the bar. And I thought to myself, this here is what I'm here for. This is the experience that I want. So they sit us down, and I think Tim warned me as well. Tim said to me, now, Craig, just to let you know, they're not really – they're called Minnesota nice, and I'm doing that with inverted, you know, quotes. Minnesota nice, meaning that they're quite, you know, passive aggressive, and you know they're not really. And I said, "Come on, I'm from Jersey. How bad can it be? Let's be honest." And so he sits down, and she come over, and she's like, "Just three Juicy Lucy's." She even knew what we wanted straight away.
Oh,
three Juicy Lucy's.
Oh yeah, it's not much on the menu.
And I looked at her and said, "Oh yeah, I'll have a Juicy Lucy, thanks, mate." As well, she looked at me. She goes, "Where are you from?" And I said, "New Jersey." She goes, "You liar," and walked away. I'm like, "Oh, wow."
She walked away.
She walked away. "You liar." Walked away.
You're lying.
You lied. Now, a Juicy Lucy, for those who want to know. Juicy Lucy is basically a hamburger as such. So it's two buns, a top and bottom on the bun itself. I'm not sure if it had cheese on top. It had onions. It had caramelized onions on top.
No cheese on top.
No cheese on top. Had the caramelized onions on top as well. Now, the meat patty itself, it had cheese injected inside the meat patty, but not just any cheese. I don't even know what type of cheese it was, but I'll say this.
Yeah.
It is hot lava cheese.
Yeah.
And
the cheese is cooked inside of it. Mm. There's two patties. They put the cheese in the middle, and then they squish the patties together. So it's inside there, like, and it melts inside the burger.
Yeah, and it stays. Juicy. It stays hot. I warn you now. And they warned me, Josh and Tim both warned me, Craig, be careful when you eat this. It is hot. It is hot lava cheese inside. I'm like, yep, no worries. They said to me, Craig, take a little bite. I took a little bite, and you videoed me as well. And I put it on my social media.
I took
a little bite. It was a tiny bite. It was a nibble. It was a mouse bite. It still got me, Josh. I got Juicy Lucy. Yeah. It spurted out from the middle of the burger.
Squirted
itself out. Went down my chin. I went, ooh, I burnt my chin and went all over my shirt. I went, I have been Juicy Lucy. You know, they do it on purpose, I think.
Yeah.
They may own.
She warned you.
She did.
I warned you.
She did.
She warned you.
They may own the local laundromat around the corner. I'm not sure because, you know, let's be honest, I'm still getting the stuff out of my shirt as we speak. But anyway, it's been through two washes now. Anyway, it was a Juicy Lucy. It's a must try from Matt's Bar if ever you were in that area. What exact area was it in, Josh? I'll put you on
I can't remember the neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
We were pretty close again to the Minnehaha Falls area.
Yep.
But I can't remember what neighborhood it is. But, you know, do a Google search.
Matt's Bar. Links are in the show notes.
Gotta go.
Of course.
Gotta go. It's controversial.
Yep.
You know, a lot of these things is like, you know, who really invented the Juicy Lucy?
Yes.
So the controversy is it's either Matt's Bar or there's a place called the 5-8 Club. And they claim it's on their wall. We drove by.
We did.
It's on their wall. Home of the Juicy Lucy or whatever.
Yeah.
And
I'll be honest.
Most people say it's Matt's Bar.
I'll be honest. After looking at the two locations, I believe it's Matt's Bar for one reason only. And that is because they are still true to their roots there. They haven't commercialized it as much as the other team did by putting it on their wall and stuff. And normally that's the case. Normally you get someone who claims and takes over a particular item or product, they make a bigger deal of it. You know what I mean? Matt's Bar didn't.
Yeah.
So that's why
they push it.
Yeah.
They don't need to promote it.
No.
Everybody just knows.
Everyone knows.
So, Craig, mm-hmm. after the hot lava cooled down a little bit, how was the flavor? Was it good?
Oh, it was delicious. A burger, it was absolutely delicious. You don't need anything else on this burger. The caramelized onions did their job perfectly on top as well. Yeah. You know, the meat was so flavorful and moist. I love using that word. And you know what? It wasn't a huge burger like normally. It wasn't a normal American sort of style burger. It was a smallish burger. But you didn't need any more than that. We had one burger each. The three of us had one burger each, and we shared one little basket of fries, and we were done. We didn't need any more food. It was perfect size.
It was the perfect amount of food.
And then you drove me because it started to rain.
The night's not over.
No, it's not over yet.
Can you believe it? Now, speaking of commercialized, let's go. It's a whiplash. We went from like this little dive bar to the most commercial thing in all of Minneapolis-St. Paul, and that is the Mall of America.
Well, MOA is, as the young people call it, I heard.
Yeah, MOA. And I wanted to take you somewhere Minnesotan in there. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to do one thing. Yeah. This tells you how real this podcast is. We're not going to sugarcoat this.
No.
So if you don't know about the Mall of America, it's the biggest mall in America.
It's huge.
There is a mall bigger in the world, I believe in Edmonton in Canada, but that's Canada. And that mall has a water park in the middle, but we have an amusement park. Mm. It's called Nickelodeon Universe. Mm-hmm. In the middle of the mall, and I wanted to take you on the log chute ride.
Yeah, but like the mini Ha Ha Falls, there was no water.
Oh gosh, the drought. The drought.
There was no water.
But the drought is impacting the log chute ride? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But there was no water in the log chute ride? Like it was closed.
But Josh, let's be honest. It's the Mall of America. It was a Saturday night. It was raining outside.
Yeah,
it was busy. You know, we tried to go for mini golf, but that was a 2-hour wait. We tried to go axe throwing. That was a 2-hour wait.
Yeah.
In the end, we did do one thing. We got into one little, there was a one corner.
It
was
so cheesy.
But it was so much, so I actually really enjoyed
We're like, why don't we try this? We paid $10 for this. Yeah, was it worth it? I don't know.
I think so. 100%.
It was weird.
It was worth it for me just to...
Was it worth it?
Well, it was worth it for me, Josh, because I did it three times to your two. Now, what we're talking about...
We're
talking about a mirror maze. So, Josh got lost. Tim got lost. I did it straight away. Walked all the way through, come back out, and I said to the guy, I go, is that it? And he's like, you can go back as many times as you want. I said, all right, I'll go back through again. And I found Josh and Tim again the second time around, and then we got the way through from there. But Josh, on your social media, on your Instagram page, Josh, just picture this, people. Picture this. Tim and I, we're standing there, and we see Josh. We see where he's walking. We can see him clear as day. Josh being Josh, he's got his phone out. He's turning around everywhere, trying to get videos, trying to get photos, social media, loves it, the whole lot. Josh gets lost and then looks around and is looking at all the different mirrors and can see Tim and I laughing at him from every angle. And when I say every angle, I'm talking about there was probably about, I'm going to say, 6 or 7 Craig and Tims, and that's a lot of Craig and Tims. But there were 6 or 7 Craig or Tims that Josh saw. All these mirrors are like, they're mirrors. And so what happens is that they show exactly what you see. And so Josh went, oh, that's them over there. So he started to walking towards us, but no, he was walking towards a mirror, bang into a mirror, walking towards there. No, bang over there, bang. Third time lucky, I think you found us. And we laughed.
It was really hard to tell. It was really hard to tell what was real. It was pretty cool.
So did I get...
Because it was slightly dark.
Did I get my money's worth? Yes, I did. See? Okay. You make the fun, Josh. You make your own fun.
Yeah.
You know?
It's true. I just was so disappointed because the log show ride has Paul Bunyan in it. Yeah. Like a giant animatronic Paul Bunyan. I was like, oh my gosh, I want Craig to see that.
But the thing is...
But instead, we just banged our head on mirrors.
But the thing is, though, we wouldn't have been able to experience banging our head on mirror, or you banging your head on mirrors, and me and Tim laughing at you, if the log chute ride wasn't closed, you see? So we make the good out of the bad decisions and stuff. So it's good.
That's a good travel tip, too. Yeah. You know, it's like you never know what to expect. You never know if you're going to encounter your waterfall being a trickle. And you just, you know, you have to adapt. You have to make the most of it. Yeah. That's one thing I've always done, try to do with my YouTube channel. It's like make your own fun.
Yeah.
Like The fun is being with your friends,
exactly right.
Out, your family,
exactly
so
right.
That's what, and we that's did. What we did. We did the silly grown men mm-hmm. inside of a mirror maze.
And then this isn't on the show notes because I forgot about it until now. And then mm-hmm. after that, we went back to your house, Josh, Tim, and myself as well. Went back to your house,
yeah.
And we watched your team lose badly, get destroyed on NFL.
Yeah, for those who don't know, my college team is the Iowa Hawkeyes. It's usually a pretty darn good team, but they're playing Penn State at the Big House for a night game.
And it was a whiteout game as well. Everyone was wearing white. Like, it's amazing. Yeah. From a non-American, your college football, and it's absolutely, I'm in awe of it all. Like, the amount of support and cheering and people in general, it's just huge. And, out there.
If you ever get around, we should go to a college football game like that.
Oh, 100%. I've never been to a college football game. I've never been to an NFL game yet either.
Like, it's compared to baseball. Mm. Baseball, it's like just a chill experience, you know, where you sit and, you know, drink beer and have a hot dog. But college football.
That's next
even
level.
Pro football, but college, it's just like, hype, the hype, the tailgating. Yep. It's so epic. But I appreciated that time because I'll be honest, Craig, like, I was exhausted.
Yep, you were.
So it was nice to be able to just sit down, have some
popcorn,
Miller High Life.
Yes, we did.
Not sponsored.
The champagne of beers. Still not sponsored.
Not sponsored. Home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Miller High Life. Extra bubbles. That's not a commercial, but Miller High Life, if you're listening.
Meanwhile, you said to me, after you gave me a Miller High Life, you said to me, Craig, I've got something for you. I went, what? And you brought out, you'd bought for me, unbeknownst I was even going to come up, like come that weekend, you bought for me a Miller High Life cap, baseball cap.
I did.
I love it. It's great. Look, I'm wearing it now.
You're wearing it right now.
Yeah.
I saw it at the Minnesota State Fair like last month, and I was like, I'm buying that for Craig.
Yeah.
And he's wearing it right now.
Well, you know I wear hats often because mostly I'm balding. But then
that's okay.
We all are. But
You can accessorize your
Josh,
head.
The night wasn't over. Here you are.
It's not over. Yet. Yes. The football game ended. Yeah. You think we went to sleep? No.
It's 10 p.m. at night. 10 p.m. at night.
Because 10 p.m. because Minnesota St. Paul is the Munsey Mecca of the world.
It really is. It really is. If you play Munsey, then you need to go to Minnesota and Minneapolis. It's insane. The amount of pure amount of Munsey in the area is ridiculous. And so, Josh.
Craig.
Yes.
Tell the people what Munsey is, though.
Oh, so, of course.
They might be listening and they might be like, I just was listening for Minneapolis St. Paul. Now they're saying weird words.
Weird words like Munsey. Munsey is an outdoor adventure type game, very similar to geocaching, except it's either A, you scan QR codes physically, or B, it's a virtual game where you can actually just cap virtually as well. It is more points based than geocaching. It is similar, but very different to geocaching. You can't compare the two. Geocaching, you can find containers. Munsey is more about points and points and points.
Yeah. Kind of, and this is not a great explanation, but kind of if you take geocaching and Pokemon Go and they had a baby.
Yeah, Munsey
would
be
kind
born.
Of be like Munsey.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. There's a little bit more gamification.
Yes, more gamification. Anyway. But anyway, so I'm a Munsey player. Josh is a Munsey player. In actual fact, Josh got me into Munsey. And I'm coming up now on him very fast in terms of total points. But anyway,
true.
You said to me, Craig, you haven't been here before. You're a Munsey lover. Let's go out and do some Munsey. And when we say go out and do some Munsey at 10 o'clock at night, think about this. It's a virtual game at that point in time. So we do everything virtually. So, right. Josh, you drove me from car park to parking lot to parking lot, as you say in America.
Or neighborhood to neighborhood.
Two middle-aged men sitting in a dark car in a neighborhood, in a car parking lot, and literally both of them just looking at their phones, talking, and just tap, 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 tap. And then after about...
In front of people's houses. You had to be so stealthy. It was difficult.
So we've been doing that for about half an hour at the time. You said to me, Craig, what sort of points do you want today? And I looked and went, oh, yeah, because I've been capping while you were driving. Mm-hmm. I looked and went, oh, look, I've got a fair decent amount of points. I'm over 100,000 points for today. You went, oh, that's good. What are you on the leaderboard? I go, Josh, I'm sixth on the leaderboard. And you're like,
sixth place
in the world. You're like, what's the number one? How far are you away from number one? I was like, I'm still 50,000 away from number one, 60,000 away from number one. You go, you can do it. So we spent the next hour.
It was 2 hours of playing.
It was 2 hours of playing in total. 2 hours of playing, yeah. And I got, Josh, I got number one in the world for the day. Yes in total points, in total caps.
Did it.
Yes, I did it. And it was like 175,000 points for the day or whatever it was, which is quite minuscule in comparison to other days that have happened. So I think,
especially for a Saturday.
Yeah. So I think I was quite lucky for that as well.
You were. Mm. And also you were lucky by where you were, where you were, because to get number one in the world, often you have to play all the way to midnight Central Standard Time. Yes. So that's what we actually did. So we could ensure that you were number one in the world. We played all the way to midnight, and then the leaderboard resets for the next day. Right. If you're in some other country, like, you're sleeping already.
Well, if you say, for instance, when I was in Australia, the Munzee resets at 3 p.m. in the afternoon is when the day resets.
Like in the middle of the day.
Yeah, in the middle of the day, because it's Munzee HQ time. So it's Central time. So, yeah, so that's why I was able to play all the day through and then into the night. So thank you for that, Josh. Again, thank you for the great idea. And I got a special badge for being number one in the world for that day. So yes, there you go.
Another highlight.
Mm.
And then that was the end of Saturday.
Yeah.
And then you were actually going back.
I was going back on home Sunday. Lunchtime.
And I was like, we got a PAX. What else can we do? That could be reasonable, because I think I need to get you to the airport at like 11 a.m. or something.
Yeah,
11:30.
Yeah.
So your flight was delayed, so you could have done more.
I know. It was delayed by like 5 hours. But anyway.
Yikes.
Before that, Josh said, what else can we do? And so you sent me, or sent me, you drove me to a spectacular geocache. And I will say this, the GC code, GC9X4NK is the GC code. And it is a TARDIS. What a TARDIS is Doctor Who, the blue phone booth. It's a TARDIS. Right.
And a little free library as well.
A little free library as well. And yeah, you took me to that, and it's at the front. I didn't realize at the time, it's actually your cache. So that's really cool.
Yes, I didn't really build it.
Yours and Bounce.
Yeah. Bounce Bounce from Seattle sent it to me. Thank you, Bounce Bounce.
Yeah, it is. Chad. It is an awesome cache. Definitely favorite point worthy. Like, I don't know why it hasn't got any more favorite points, to be honest with you.
Well, I had to move it.
Oh, that's right.
It had like 117 favorite points, and then I had to move it to a different house.
Oh, is that
so?
What
then it is? I lost all the favorite points, but it's regaining.
So just to give you an idea, basically this blue phone booth, you go in, you open up the phone booth itself, and there's a free library there. There's a geocache there with, you have to do a special thing with the geocache. I won't say too much about it. Have a look at it and go and do it yourself. But there was a Ring doorbell camera up there as well, and that's for the owner of the house, the property that it was on, and he could see you and watch you. And I think he even said to us sometimes, he said to us, "Hey, Josh, who you got there today?" You know, like, whoa, where's this coming from, this voice? But apparently he talks to other people as well. Yeah, this is the TARDIS speaking. Yeah. You're in the wrong location. You're doing the wrong thing, you know. But he is also a lover like yourself of Back to the Future.
Yeah. He's a lover of all things time travel.
True.
But so tell him what happened. This is just, I'm so proud of this cache because of the experience that the homeowner, my friend Andy, provides for some people that arrive there.
Yeah. And he's got a business as well, Andy. It's Rent a DeLorean as well. You can rent the DeLorean.
Yeah, rent DeLorean. Rentdelorean.com. Check it out if you want to rent a DeLorean, because he has a network of DeLoreans.
Yeah.
So he's like in charge of it. It's like his business. Yep. So like, let's say you're in Houston and you go to that website, he will connect you with the DeLoreans in Houston that people can rent out. They'll show up for birthday parties, events, all that stuff.
They can even drive you to your formal, your homecoming, whatever it's called. That sounds really cool. Really cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
Yeah. So you want to talk about the TARDIS, or do you want to talk about the Back to the Future Museum?
I think we can be done with the TARDIS, but we've completed the geocache. Yes. You got it open.
Yep, that's all done. Signed the log.
And then the voice from Buzz says, "Hey, do you want to see another time machine?" And we walk over to the garage. The garage opens up.
And there's smoke and bellows out. Smoke bellows out from
the smoke under. Billows out.
And there's the lights just flashing.
Just like Doc Brown lives there. And
I saw the back.
And it's
the back of a DeLorean. And the DeLorean is built exactly the same. Exactly to the same as the Back to the Future DeLorean. It's got the...
Yeah, he has the time circuits, yep. the flux capacitor. Yep. Even he's also a fan of the movie Ready Player One, so he had the Knight Rider kit light on the front of it. Did. This time machine is like an everything DeLorean.
Josh, I love the attention to detail that this guy had. So what's it called? You're more of a fan than I am. What's it called where they put that food processor thing in the top of the back of the car?
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
Mr. Fusion.
Mr. Fusion. He had a Mr. Fusion there, but not just a Mr. Fusion. You open the Mr. Fusion there, he's got the tab tin can that they put in. He's got a replica like banana peel that they put in. So attention to detail this guy's done is just next level, absolutely next level.
Yep.
He opened up the car. The doors open up of the car. It opens up. And he says, sit in, Craig, sit in. Once I actually was able to get in there, because it's low to the ground, lo and behold, your little boy, Goliath, he jumps straight up on my lap and he's licking. So I had my own little Einstein sitting on my lap.
Yeah. He thought you were going to go for a ride,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah, he was happy to go for a ride as well. So, but you walk around the car itself and you saw all different aspects of the Back to the Future and other time machine sort of style movies. But I loved it. He's got a book in there, and it's your book, Josh.
Yeah, The Greatest Treasure.
The Greatest Treasure.
If you didn't know,
is in there.
I wrote a comic book, geocaching comic book. But I love Back to the Future so much that there are so many Back to the Future Easter eggs in it.
Yeah.
So I decided I was like, this is Back to the Future memorabilia. So I gave him that, and that's actually in the museum. So he actually has a Back to the Future museum in there, like all the memorabilia, all the collectibles. Mm-hmm. It was just, I love bringing people there, and I love visiting it.
Exactly. And then you said to me, okay, time for brunch, a Josh's Sunday brunch. And you then took me back home to your place, and you cooked me a Joshua's Sunday brunch consisting of eggs and hash browns. But the best part wasn't simple, was the Bloody Mary.
Yeah, which is actually a Bloody Caesar, if you talk to anybody in Canada.
Oh, a Bloody Caesar. So there you go. So
because I use Clamato based for the tomato juice.
Oh,
yeah. But you didn't know that.
No, but it had a full pickle in there as well. It was, it was delicious. It was divine. Yes. So
I love a Bloody Mary that's not super spicy, we have established with my jambalaya conversation.
Exactly. And then you took me back to the airport. I then waited and waited and waited because Newark wasn't accepting airplanes in because there was bad weather. I was delayed by 5 hours, but I got home at the end. Ugh. So I got back to Jersey in the end. So a big thank you, mate, for a awesome weekend, brilliant weekend.
Well,
so much we did.
Yes. Well, a big thank you to you for the expense and the time it took to honor the 100K. I can't think of anybody that I would love to celebrate with more because a lot of people, you don't know, Craig, over the last year has been helping me edit some of my long form videos. And because of that, I've been able to focus more on the shorts, which I talked about before. And because I was able to focus on the shorts while keeping the long form video going, that really helped grow the channel so much over the last year. So this award on the wall is on the wall is, it's a team. We're a team.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you for inviting me into your little team members as well. So speaking of teams, we've got to talk about Patreon, Josh.
We have a whole team behind this podcast.
We do. And we've even got a new
supporting.
We've got a new Patreon as well. A new Patreon member as well. Yes, yes, yes.
We do. Who is it?
Yes. Bianca Schmidt. Bianca Schmidt, thank you so much, Bianca, for your support. We do welcome you onto the
team. Are you sure it's not Bianca?
Or Bianca?
I don't know.
In Australia, it's in the show notes. In Australia, we'd call it Bianca, but you probably call it Bianca.
Probably.
Either.
Well, regardless.
Regardless. Thank you.
Tomato, tomato.
Thank you, Ms. Schmidt. Josh, how can people, if they wanted to join us on Patreon, how can they join us on Patreon and get the golden nuggets?
Yes. If you've been enjoying our podcast, we would really appreciate your support. And by supporting us, you're helping us to create even better content, keeping it free for everyone because, basically we don't have Miller High Life sponsoring this podcast. We don't. We would love it.
Yeah.
But it's not there. But that's why this is listener supported. and you get the golden nuggets. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, the golden nuggets on Patreon, they're seeing video, they're seeing some photos, mm-hmm. they're seeing some of the behind the scenes stuff. Yeah. And that is all as a thank you for the support. Exactly. So please consider joining our Patreon. You can find it at patreon.com/treasuresofourtown. And mm-hmm. and I'm going to say this. We don't say this every yeah. week. The way podcasts get noticed yes. is when people go on Apple Podcasts yes. or Spotify or wherever you're listening to this. Yep. And if you could just give us a 5-star review mm-hmm. and let the people know that you're enjoying the podcast, we do rank pretty high. Like when we started this podcast, we ranked pretty high on the leisure and travel mm-hmm. section. Mm-hmm. And consider doing that. That really also helps the podcast yeah. is if you give us a little quick 5-star review. And we are so far, knock on wood, yeah. I don't want to jinx it. We are a 5-star podcast.
We're 5 out of 5-star podcast with over 100 views or reviews already, which is really cool too. So thank you for those who already have done their review, etc. And that doesn't cost them anything to do a review. You know what I mean? Just to cost you a little bit of time. No. There's a link on it. It's easy. It's done. But Josh, coming up in our next episode, we're going to keep it a surprise. It's a surprise for us.
Are we? Yeah, I think we know. Oh, we do? But we're going to keep it a surprise.
I know.
Yeah, I talked to you about it last night.
Geez, you might have, but I've been busy. What are we doing next? What are we doing in the next episode, Josh?
We're going to North Dakota.
That's
to
right.
A little location mm-hmm. called Gilby, North Dakota, which is yeah. maybe the smallest location that we've ever talked about mm-hmm. because me, myself, and Minnesota boy. Yep. We're going up there next weekend
cool.
to experience the Disneyland of geocaching. However, right next to Gilby is a town of about 10,000 people, mm-hmm. perfect for this podcast, mm-hmm. of Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Right.
And so we're going to experience Grand Forks. We're going to experience Gilby. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have, I haven't even asked him yet, so hopefully he's into it. We're going to have Timothy Larson, who is going to come along with me, and yep. we're going to have a conversation about going up to the Northland, experiencing the Disneyland of geocaching. It'll be geocaching light, but we'll also talk about Grand Forks and that whole area.
See, Tim normally gets jealous of when you and I go out geocaching together as well. Now mm-hmm. it's my turn to get jealous of you and Tim out there, you know, living the life and getting getting all your caches in Gilby. So that's pretty cool. So make sure you listen up for that. Josh, where can people support us on social medias as well? Where can they find us?
Yep, they can follow us, of course, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and this podcast is always on YouTube mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the end of our show for today. Please subscribe, rate, and review, as Josh just said as well, on your favorite podcasting app. And as always, Josh,
may your travels always lead you to the most unexpected and amazing hidden gems, and you get a juicy Lucy squirt at you all around the world. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye. We're gonna win, Twins. We're gonna score. We're gonna win, Twins. Watch that baseball score.